Sunday, 23rd of September, Yud Aleph Tishrei, Rabbi Joseph Freilich, priorities, Luluf or Sukkah.
Wish everybody Gemara Sima Tova, and it's wonderful to see everybody here. Like usual, I thought maybe it might be very thin this morning, after Yom Kippur, people are worn out, so we've got to make the Sukkah. But Baruch Hashem, it's as strong as usual. I remember some years ago, the late Chief Rabbi Yakubovitz went into one of the United Synagogues in Yom Kippur, and of course the shul was absolutely packed, all the members were present, and he stood up and he spoke, and he said, it's wonderful to see the shul packed, everybody's here. And presumably this is because people somehow think that Yom Kippur is the most important day in the year. But let me tell you that this is actually not true. The most important day in the year is the day after Yom Kippur, and I'd like to see the shul packed tomorrow morning, all of you back here tomorrow morning. Of course the rabbi said to him afterwards, it's absolutely impossible, you'll never get everybody here tomorrow morning, can't do such a thing. And he said, no, nothing is impossible. If you find in the Torah at the beginning of Pasuk Vayakel, it says Vayakel Moshe's kol adas b'nei Yisrael, Moshe b'nei got together the entire Klal Yisrael. As Rashi then was, it memocharos yom kippurim. So as you see, that even the day after Yom Kippur, you can manage to get everybody together, right? But apparently the rabbi felt, you know, he wasn't like Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't be able to pull that off. In fact, I just heard a couple of days ago, and then in Kalnida night, somebody told me that there was once a chazan in the United Synagogue, and after Yom Kippur, at the end of Yom Kippur, he said, we called out. But the next year, Kalnitzer starts at 10 to 7. You know. Anyhow, let's get down to work. We've got in front of us the beautiful Chagasukas. And on Chagasukas, we've got, unlike most other Chagim, we've got two mitzvahs, two special mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Avraminim and the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now the question I would like to address here is, what are our priorities? You know, we have to, priorities is a whole big subject. If you can do everything, you know, if a person has as much money in the world as he needs to do everything, you go on holidays, buy sporting, buy, you know, you can do everything. If you have as much time as you wanted and as much as, but the trouble is that we are limited in resources, we've got so much koyach and so much effort and so much money, so much time, and sometimes we are forced to choose in between them. I remember once hearing the later Rabbi Haga, the Rebbe, probably when I first came to go into the young boy, the Rebbe, the founder of the thing, they was there, and I just remember him saying one thing. He said, if a human being would live forever, you would never open a Gemara. And I remember I went home and thought, what does he mean? And then I realized, you know, why should I bother to learn? You know, I can learn in 100 years' time, I can learn tomorrow, I can learn in 5 years. I've got all my life to learn. It's because you're limited, you know, that forces all sorts of things upon us. So sometimes there's all sorts of toilet in what happens if you've got to choose even between good things, got mixers, and I can either do this one or that one, and I've got to choose, then what is my priority? How do I choose? And there's all sorts of rules of priority. So I would like to address the following question. And this is discussed in the Achronim, they bring it, the Achronim brings it, other Achronim bring it. What happens if a person has to choose between Lulav and Etzik? I mean, Baruch Hashem here, we don't know such a thing. You know, the thousands of Lulavim around, everybody's got a Sukkah. But in former times, there were times, and I even remember as a child myself, in the war time, you know, there was sort of one or two Lulavim in town. I remember my father went to the botanical gardens and he somehow managed the curator to persuade the curator to let him cut down a Lulav from the palm house. He told special religious things, the Irish, you know, the Catholics, they somehow accepted it and let him cut it down. But then he had to share it, everybody had to borrow his Lulav, and don't ask what, you know. Can be a place, a person, but a yid, and if it wasn't a place, and there's no lulav available, there's no sukkah available, but there's a town that he can go to, and in that town they've got a sukkah. Well, he's got a son living there, and he's got a sukkah, he can go there and spend sukkahs there and have a sukkah. But in that town they've got no lulav. And there's another town to the other side, he could go to. There they've got a lulav, but there's no chance of a sukkah. And he's got to choose which town should he go to. Should he go to the town with the sukkah, or should he go to the town with the lulav? Which one should he choose? And surprisingly, the Matatayim says that he can choose whichever one he wants. Leisa mokum shiyetzer. It's a very safe pshat, and this is what I'd like to discuss. Now, of course, we know, there's a well-known Gemara, that on Rosh Hashanah, if a person has got a town where they've got a shofar, but they've got nobody to say the brachos. You know, today again, we all spoil it, everybody's got a mass there, everyone's got art schools, you know, there's no problem out of brachos. But at one time, there were places where even though they didn't know it, but Malchus, Zichron, Shofar, long Musav of Rosh Hashanah, people didn't know it. They had to go somewhere where there was a Sheikh Tzibo, and he knew it, and they listened, and they were yoitzer with a Sheikh Tzibo. So you've got one town where there's a Sheikh Tzibo who knows the brachos, and he can say the brachos, and he can be mighty me with the brachos, but they've got no shofar in that place. There's another town where they've got a shofar, but there's nobody to be mighty me with the Malchus, Zichron, and shofars. So the Gemara says he must go to the town where there's a shofar, because that's midoraisa, and the brachos are only midrabot. But here in our case, mitzvah sukkah is deraisa, and certainly the first night you've got a chiyuv to eat a desired passim, the sukkah, and lulav is the first day, is midoraisa as well. So I've got to choose between two deraisas. So here, what do we do? So let's sort of analyze the question. As you say, sukkah, the first night alone is the raisa, or the other night, the Gemara says, is the shus. And if a person wants to eat bread, then you have to eat in the sukkah. But if I want, I can spend the rest of sukkahs eating fish and eggs and vegetables, other things. If I don't want, then I can manage to avoid the sukkah. Because the first night I've got a chiyuv, because that matzah on the first night of Seder, we learn out the Seder Shavah, Chamisha Oso, that on Sukkah the first night I've got must eat a desire of bread. With lulav, the first day there's a mitzvah, midaraisa, to shake lulav, l'kachem l'kachem b'yom erishon, and the other days are midrabonon, sort of the zechel amigdash, in the base of Migdash, it was a mitzvah min haTorah all the 7 days. Samachim l'fnei Hashem l'keichem shivas yomim, that's l'fnei Hashem l'keichem, in the base of Migdash, there they took the lulav for 7 days. But Mishachor Beis Hamikdash, so Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was misakin that in all the other places we should keep up and we should still have lulav every day midrabot. But midaraisa, it's only the first day. So what do we do? Well, if the first day is Shabbos, then of course I've got no problem, because if it's Shabbos, then there's no lulav on that Shabbos. I'm not going to shake the first day. So this year, in the Shabbos, there'll be no mitzvah lulav deraisa. So I've only got sukkah, which is deraisa, and the lulav is completely midrabanan. There's no problem. It's like the shofar and the brachos. I clearly have to choose the place of the sukkah. But in an ordinary year,
did you say this year?
No, I'm saying this. If you have it, if this year would be Shabbos, it would be. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying this, and I'm not changing the calendar. No. Yeah. Right. So the question is, you know, which one do we go to? Now, one could argue that one should go to the place where there's a lulav, because the lulav, I've got a mitzvah of a choiv to take the lulav every single day. Right? The first day is the raisa, the other day is the midrabanan. Whereas the sukkah, it's only the first night. All the other days are the shus. I haven't even got a chiyuv rabanan. So therefore, one could say that I should go to the place where there is a lulav. That would be an argument for the place where there's a lulav. However, on sukkahs, the chiyuv of sukkah already comes at night. As soon as it's night, I've got a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. Whereas the chiyuv lulav is only the next day. And so therefore, there is an inyan of chayv of shata bereisha, sort of now at night, as soon as night comes in, you've got a chayv. So never mind about tomorrow, you're mechuyev to see to tonight. If I go to the town where there's a sukkah, because tonight I've got to eat in the sukkah, what'll happen tomorrow morning? I won't have a lulu. So tomorrow morning I'm onus, right? I can't help it. No, I'm in this town now. I can't get from this town to the other town. So in the morning I'll say, listen, I'm sorry, in this town where I am, I haven't got a lulu, so I'm potter. Also, it can't be compared to a yid who goes for Pesach, he goes to Lapland or somewhere, and he turns around and stays the night. Oh, they've got no matzahs here in Lapland. You know, I'm onus. You know, Nebuch. You know, I'm onus. That, of course, doesn't count as an oinus. Right? He shouldn't have gone. You know, who asked him to go to Lapland for Pesach? And if he's got to go there for some reason, he's got there for something to do in Lapland, then take matzahs with you. But to go to Lapland, not take matzahs, then suddenly you put yourself into a position of oinus. And then you say, listen, Rabbi Hashem, I'm honest, what can I do? I've got no matters here. That, of course, doesn't work. That's when yesterday, when we said, Al-Khit Shechotonel for Necho, but honest of Rotsen. No, they asked, you know, if I do a Khit for Rotsen, I've got to ask for Mechila. If I've done a Khit for honest means I can't help it. If I can't help it, what do I don't need Slicha or Mechila for it? Right? The Rambam says at the beginning of Sefer Tshuva, a Veda which a person has done, Bein B'mezit, Bein B'shoigig, you've got to ask the tshuva. So even with Shoigid, you didn't know that it was also, or you didn't know the time, okay, you should have known, you should have learned, you should have learned. And Shoigid, you're not amazed, but you still need to do tshuva. But Oinus, he doesn't say Oinus, you don't need to do tshuva. Person, the place, your mamashi, nenus, and he can't help it, then of course, he doesn't have to do tshuva. So what do we say, Al-Khech Gatan of Fanecho, for Oinus and Rotsim? So there are various terutzim. One of the terutzim are, that this sort of situation where you're oinus, but you put yourself in the position of oinus, if you would have thought a little bit or prepared yourself, had some idea, you wouldn't have put yourself into that oinus in the first place. Now, of course, you can't compare that to the situation that we're talking about. Because here, he is an oinus. Right? He's not necessarily an oinus on the lulav, but he's an oinus on one of the two. He can't keep the sukkah and the lulav. That's the situation. So he is in the place of onus. He can't keep, either he can't keep the sukkah or he can't keep the lulav. So he's just decided he'll go for the sukkah and the lulav will be the onus. But that is a proper onus. So that would be an argument to say he should go to the place where he is, the place where the sukkah is, because there he's got a chiyuv first. That's his first chiyuv. As soon as night comes in, that is his chiyuv, and he shouldn't worry about tomorrow. However, this has only got limited application. You know, they say somebody's in the army, or somebody is confined to his barracks. He can't get out. And they say, you know, if they give him leave for one day to go out, so he goes, you know, he hasn't got fill of the tzibur, he hasn't got all sorts of mitzvahs while he's in the army. But they say, we're going to give you one day leave. You can go today, tomorrow, the day after, whenever you want. So in 3 days' time is Yom Kippur. So should he take the leave today and go to shul today, an ordinary weekday? Or should he say, well, I take the leave in 3 days' time, Kippur, the damn fill of it, Sibur, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Musa, Ne'ilah, things, a much greater thing. And they paskin, the paskins, that, you know, you should take today. You're given a day when you can be Mekayim. Every day you've got a chiyuv, a fill of the tzibur. So if you're in the army, you can't be Mekayim it, so you're onus. If you say you can have leave, so if I can have leave today, so today I'm not onus, so I better go and I'll take today. I, in a few days' time, will be Yom Kippur. That's then a few days' time, you'll be onus again because you haven't got leave on Yom Kippur. You don't have to start reckoning now and start making such spoilers. You've got to consider every day on its own. Now you've got a chiyuv. Are you able to keep the mitzvah now or not? If you can keep the mitzvah now, keep it now. Don't sort of make all calculations. If I keep this now, then I won't be able to think. You can't be doicher something now because of some benefit you'll get later. So if they would tell you in the army, let's say this, you're in the army, you're in the barracks on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. And they say, you can take off leave, you can take today, tomorrow, any day. You've got to be back in the palace at midnight. As the days go till midnight. So, you can say, I could take off, they're telling me on Wednesday I could take off today. So, I could take off today, and Wednesday evening, as soon as sukkah comes in, I'll be able to eat in the sukkah, and I'll be able to make the mitzvah of sukkah, and I'll be back at the barracks by midnight. Tomorrow, I won't be able to shake luder because I'm inside. Okay, then I'm honored. So there, you could understand such a situation. That, in fact, would be your appeal. You can take, you don't say, well, go tomorrow, take off tomorrow and make the kind of luder. Today, you could be off. So you can make the kind of mitzvah sukkah. You've got a appeal of today. So, I'm in kind of mitzvah sukkah today. However, the case that we're talking about, you see, in the case of where you're in the army, so I've now got a chiyuv of sukkah. Comes the evening, I've got a chiyuv of sukkah. So if I'm able to get out and go and sit in a sukkah, I've now got a chiyuv. I can be makai my chiyuv now. But the case that I put to you is a man lives in a town. In the town where he lives, there's nothing. There's no sukkah, there's no lulav, gornish. So here, he can't do anything. If he's here, he's got no mitzvah of sukkah, he's got no mitzvah of lulav, he hasn't got any possibility at all. And he's got no chiyuv yet. Now at the moment it's erev, it's before sukkah, he's got no chiyuv sukkah at the moment. So he's got to decide where should he go to where he'll be on sukkah. So there, if we decide that it's better to be in the place where he's got lulav, because then the first day can be Mekayim, the mitzvah d'araisa, and after that, every day, he can be Mekayim and mitzvah d'bonon, whereas in sukkah, if he goes to a place, he'll only have one night of sukkah, his first desire, then maybe it's better he should now go to the place of lulav, and as soon as it comes night, then he would say, now you've got a mitzvah sukkah, listen, now I'm honest, I'm here in this town here where there's a lulav, we've got no sukkah here, I'm honest. He didn't put himself, he didn't have a chiyuv sukkah yet at the time when he made his decision. He hadn't made his decision in the daytime, which town is he going to go to, and at that time he had no chiyuv and no possibility to stay here. There's absolutely no point, I've got to go somewhere. So I'll go to the town where I'll be able to do the bigger mitzvah, I'll go to the place of lulav. When it'll come night and it'll say, now you've got a chiyuv sukkah, but now I'm honest. So therefore, this is a consideration, what we've got to do. So, as I say, we never sort of push off and think, that tomorrow, in normal situations, like I said, if you're in the army, we'd never say, what will I do if I do this now? I won't be able to do something else tomorrow. Or, I better do the thing tomorrow and then forget about today. This is, of course, only, I should say, with mitzvahs and chiyuvim. When you're talking about considering a hiddur mitzvah, then we do have to think about the future. I don't want anybody to come away and say, listen, you don't have to think about the future, just think about the moment, don't look at the future. We do have to take the future into account. For example, the locus of Hanukkah, you're somewhere on Hanukkah, and you haven't got boxes of candles, all you have is 8 candles. That's your total possession of 8 candles, and you're not going to be able to get any more over Hanukkah. Now we know that in the Hanukkah there's a chiyuv, the Rabbanon, there's a chiyuv to light every single night. And the mitzvah, the basic mitzvah, is to light one candle every night. Now it's a hiddur, you want to be mahadin min the mahadin, so you light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, but that is a hiddur. Right? Now, I don't want you to get the impression from what I said that I just have to think of now. Comes the first night, I light my first candle. And comes the second night, I say, well, have I got enough to do it properly, Mahadim and Mahadim? Yeah, I need 2 candles. I've got 2 candles in the box still. So I light 2 candles the second night. Comes the third night, can I light 3 candles? Yeah, Baruch Hashem, Chaim Mahidu, I light 3 candles the third night. For the rest of the Hanukkah, the last days, I'll have no candles left. Oh, I'm honored. That we don't say. Because I've got to consider, I do have to consider the whole picture. I do have to look into the future. And the first thing, I've got to make sure I can be yoit to all my chiyuvim. Hidurim, I've got to take second place. But I've got to say, I'm stuck in this place for Hanukkah. I've only got 8 candles. I've got a chiyuv every night to light a candle. So I've got to ration it out. I'm going to light one candle every night to make sure that at least every day I'm a kind of chiyuv. I can't keep a hidur. Okay. Tough luck. I can't. The greatest hiddur is to be kind of mitzvahs every day. That's the biggest hiddur. But if it's if you have to measure sort of one hiddur sort of against another hiddur, you know, then again you could say, let's say the person that says all this, and Mishaguru brings all this, the person has got 9 candles, so then the first night he will light one, the second he's got an additional one, so the second night he can afford to be Mahada. So, you know, he'll light 2 the second night, and then after that, 1 each night.
Neshabbat.
Yeah? Fun?
Neshabbat.
Neshabbat, okay, he's got the Neshabbat, it's a separate, let's say he's done. Yeah, okay. But the divide is only in the second night. Shabbat is the seventh night or something. We're worrying about the first night. Now, if he's got 10 candles, then what's he going to do? Right, he's got sort of 2 more than he needs. So he could light one the first night, he could light one the second night, and in the third night he could light 3, a nice big hiddur. So the halacha is no. The Mishnah Berurah says, on the second night you should light 2, now you're able to do the hiddur now, I won't be able to do the hiddur tomorrow, never mind tomorrow, now you can do the hiddur of 2, and tomorrow I'll be able to do a hiddur of 3, that we don't take into account. I mean, it could well be that to do 3 in the third night is no more hiddur than to do 2 on the second night, because the hiddur is to show by the number of candles connected to Yom Yom which day of Hanukkah it is. So I'm showing, you know, is it the 5th day, the 6th day, or the oil has been burning for so many days. So to do 3 in the third night maybe is no bigger hiddur than 2 in the second night. But even if it was a bigger hiddur, the halakha would be that on the second night you can do the hiddur the second night and don't wait for a bigger hiddur later on. But we've got to match a hiddur against mitzvahs, then of course we've got to make sure that we've got all the mitzvahs. Now we've got to consider, as I said, this situation. We're now balancing sukkah against lulav. And we're saying that intrinsically lulav, I've got more mitzvah than sukkah, because lulav, I've got the first day, I've got a mitzvah deraisa, and all the other days, I've only got a mitzvah. Sorry, the other days, I've got a mitzvah derabanan. Whereas in sukkah, I've only got the mitzvah deraisa the first night. All the rest is the shus. But it's not quite so simple, because we've got to understand that this business of sukkah, the other days being the shus, it doesn't mean just it's the shus, right? It means, the shus means that you're not mechuyev to eat bread, but if you want to eat bread, if I want to have a suit of bread, then the Torah says go and eat it in the sukkah. You've got a mitzvah to eat it in the sukkah. There is a mitzvah, a reiser, to eat it in the sukkah, right? It's not a choyv, like, you know, we've got certain mitzvahs which are a choyv. The absolute choyv, it doesn't depend on me. Tefillin. Every day I've got to put on tefillin whether I like it or not. There are mitzvahs like tzitzis, for example, but the Torah says if you've got a four-corner garment, then you've got a chiyuv to put on tzitzis. You're not mechuyev to wear a four-corner. If I don't wear a four-corner garment, no, then I don't have to wear tzitzis. I'm not mevatel a mitzvah. I just haven't got the circumstances. I don't have to wear a four-corner garment. I mean, we do all wear it because it's such an easy mitzvah all day long, every minute in the time of mitzvah. You know, there'll be a tiny on us, the Boshan will have a tiny on us. Look, you had a chance to do such an easy mitzvah and you didn't bother to do it, you know, you're throwing away mitzvahs. It's a black mark against us. But technically, halakhically, I'm not over anything if I don't wear a four-corner garment. Mitzvah mezuzah. If you've got a house, so you've got a mitzvah to put a mezuzah on. If you haven't got a house, or somebody lives in a tent, or they live in a boat, or they live somewhere, there's all sorts of circumstances where your house, if it doesn't qualify for chiyuv mezuzah, so you don't live in a place which is mechuyev mezuzah, okay, then you don't have a mitzvah mezuzah. And like that, there are many many mitzvahs like that, which are sort of depending on whether I want to engage in the circumstances. But if I do have a house, then the Torah says, you've got a house, now you want to live in a house, you've got a mitzvah to put on a mezuzah. The proper seal, the right to put on a mezuzah, and the kind of mitzvah, and I make a bracha over the mezuzah. And when I put on tzitzit, I make a bracha over the tzitzit. I don't say it was just a bonnet, it's just a reshus. Not just a reshus. If I want to wear the four corner garment, I've got a mitzvah. So in the sukkah as well, the sukkah, every day of sukkahs, and every night, there is a mitzvah. There exists a mitzvah of sukkah. If I want to eat bread, I want to eat a suda, the Torah says, I'm the tzami you, go and take your meal into the sukkah and eat in the sukkah. And when I eat in the sukkah, I'm the kayim, a mitzvah, and I make a bracha over the mitzvah. Right? It's different than matzah. Right? Matzah, right? There's a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night, right? And all the other nights, and all the other days of the rest of sukkahs, you know, the rest of Pesach. Yeah, so the Torah says, listen, if you want to eat bread, then you have to eat unleavened bread. Yeah? So on the other days, if I want to eat bread, so I have to eat matzah bread. That's the only thing I can eat. But not that the Torah gives me a mitzvah to eat matzah. There's no mitzvah to eat matzah. There's just an isser to eat chometz. You want to eat bread, but look, you can't eat chometz because of chometz tea. Right? So therefore, the only thing open to you is matzah. But you're not mekayim an actual mitzvah. I don't mean there's a gourd that says it's sort of a certain Indian in eating matzah, but if you're talking about a solid mitzvah, you don't make a bracha over any time you eat matzah on the rest of Pesach. You don't make a bracha al achilas matzah like we make a bracha of leishiv sukkah on sukkahs. It's the same as the Torah says, you know, you want to eat meat, then you have to eat kosher meat. So if I eat some kosher meat, I'm going to make a bracha al achilas kosher meat. Oh, the Torah just didn't want to eat meat. Well, look, I don't allow you to eat tzeifa meat, so the only thing left to you is the kosher meat. But that doesn't mean that eating the kosher meat, you're actually mekayim a mitzvah, thus avoiding an issa. But in sukkahs, it's an actual positive mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, and I'm a kind of mitzvah, and that's the major problem of leishiv sukkah. So therefore, we are now in a situation where we've got to weigh up the sukkah against the lulav. Right? On sukkah, the first night I've got a chiyuv, and on lulav I've got a chiyuv the first day. The rest of sukkahs I haven't got an actual choyvo, but there's still a mitzvah deraisa. Every time I eat at the sukkah, I'm a kind of mitzvah deraisa, mash eikim the lulav. But on the other hand, on lulav, every single day of sukkahs, I've got an actual chiyuv with rabbanon to shake lulav. So it's a question of weighing up. You know, you've got something on either side. On the sukkah side, you've got the I'm a kind of mitzvah in a Torah whenever I do it, right? But it's not a chayv. On lulav, it is a chayv, but it's not a chayv deraisa. It's only a chayv rabbanon. And therefore, that's why the matter frying feels, well, it's equally weighed, and therefore, if he's not in the place of sukkah at the moment, he's got to make his decision before sukkah. He's in a town where there's neither sukkah nor lulav, and he's got to decide which place to go to, then yelech shemlamokim shiyetzeh, that's why he can go to choose whichever mitzvah he prefers to go, that is the one that he can go to. And not everybody agrees with the matter frying. There's some who say that the sukkah is still more than the lulav, because the sukkah is toria, right? The sukkah is day and night. For 7 days you've got to fit whatever mitzvah there is. It's for Yom Belailo, that the whole mitzvah of lulav is only during the daytime, right? And the sukkah is out of all the 7 days it's deraisa, lulav is only one day deraisa. And also they bring the idea that it's the shem ha-chag. The chag is called in the Torah chag ha-sukkah. Not chag lulav, it's chag sukkahs. So we see that the Torah seems to make sukkah as the main thing. Now, I personally feel that if I had to choose, I think I would also like to choose the sukkah.
Yeah.
That somehow I think we'd probably all feel like that. They say that
the
pardon?
The first mitzvah comes up.
I think that's the ending. The time wise, we spoke about
the
lulav. Yeah.
The first one, the further lulav.
It comes, okay, you put that and then it's first, a little bit first. But if I've got to consider, you know, as I say, here there's no fur because I'm making the decision beforehand, you know, I've got to be honest on one of them that Saturday's first won't influence me here. But I just sort of finish by saying that sukkah is sort of one of the special mitzvahs which I'm a kind of my whole body. I go right into the sukkah with my whole body, every limb of my body at each mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. There's only a few mitzvahs like that. And say if there's a person that goes into a mikveh and be matar himself, he goes into the same body, and also the mitzvah of being in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah yeshivas orit, so you mekayim that with your whole body, you're going into that with your whole body. I'm hoping to go to Eretz Yisrael for sukkahs, you know, so I'd be able to mekayim, I'd be in the sukkah, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, both mitzvahs with my body. But it's a lovely thing in Eretz Yisrael, all the four, so you can actually sleep in the sukkah, which you can't really do here, practice, unless you're really one of the late stalwarts. But then Eretz Yisrael, you've got really no excuse not to sleep in the sukkah. And believe me, sleep in the sukkah, I always find, is a lovely thing, because you're lying down in the sukkah horizontally. It's different. When you're sitting up, you know, when you're lying horizontally and it's nice, you know, and you're lying back and you're looking up at the sky and you really feel there's nothing above you, just the elements, just the sky, you get a very definite feeling of you're under the protection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the only thing, you know, what we're in the house, you know, you think you've got a proper roof over your head, you're in your bedroom, you've got a solid roof, you're relying on your roof. In the stuff you realize, listen, what's the whole world? It's all flimsy, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam, the only thing, you know, you can have the strongest thing, you rely on your house, you rely on your finances, as you said, you know, been saying now the Northern Rock, you know, great rock, you know, you say the Suri is soil, you know, that's the only thing that's dealing. So I wish you all, you should have a good sukkah, and you make the life of it possible, the weather is good, you should make the life horizontally, have your sukkah, and be mechanics of sukkah and lulu, and not have to make the choices.